Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter 26. Now, remember last chapter when we talked about David saying, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in palaces with kings? Yeah, I know. I'm hearing you saying, Peyton, that was so last chapter ago, but you couldn't be more wrong. That's actually David's passage today, because this passage is all about the gatekeepers or the doorkeepers. If you wonder what in the heck David was talking about, wonder no more, because 1 Chronicles chapter 26 is going to explain it. In the same way that the generals of the army sought to help the worship-leading Levites organize themselves by responsibility and rotation, so the doorkeepers, or another word for the servants of the Levites who ministered to the temple itself, were chosen in this chapter. Verse 12 tells us these divisions of the gatekeepers, through their leaders, had duties of ministering in the temple of the Lord, just as their relatives have. Lots were cast for each gate according to their families, young and old alike. The lot for the east gate fell to Shelemiah, another name in your big book of baby names, biblical baby names. Then lots were cast for his son Zechariah, a wise counselor, and the lot for the north gate fell to him. The lot for the south gate fell to Obed-Edom, another name. And the lot for the storehouse fell to his sons. The lots for the west gate to Shelekith. I'm not even going to say it. The Shelekith gate on the upper road fell to Shuppim and Hosa. Guard was alongside of guard. There were 6 Levites a day on the east, 4 a day on the north, 4 a day on the south, and 2 at a time at the storehouse. As for the court of the west, there were 4 at the road and 2 at the court itself. Verse 19, these were the divisions of the gatekeepers who were the descendants of Korah and Merari. Now, let's look at some of the duties that the Levites had during the average day in the life of the temple. There were the preparations of the sacrifices, the cleaning, the sweeping, the dusting. There was the removal of the ashes from all the animals that were burnt up. There was the filling of water for the bronze laver. There was the lighting and maintaining of the oils for the lamps. There was the making of the oil for the lamps. There was the chopping of the firewood for the fires. There was the mixing of the incense that would be burned. There was the lighting and changing of that incense. There was the cleaning up after the animals, kind of like when you see the guy at Disneyland following behind the horse with that thing cleaning up the road apples. Funny thing about the road apples at Disneyland, if you ever look at them closely, they have Mickey ears on them. Just check it out next time you're there. And this is what it was like working in the temple. It was kind of like working at Disneyland. It was a privilege, because working in the temple was working at the center of the universe, so to speak. It was working at one of the most amazing places ever. After all, the temple was noted to be one of the 7 wonders of the world. Now, it's not actually listed in the 7 wonders of the world, but when you look at those dumps compared to what the temple was or the tabernacle was, you're talking one of the 7 wonders of the world. We could almost call it the 8th wonder of the world. But the reality was, you were working in God's house. And back in the 50s, when Disneyland opened, young people in Southern California considered themselves to be the most fortunate people, or the happiest people on the planet, if they could just work at Disneyland for minimum wage. It didn't matter what ride they operated or what they did. It was simply considered to be the most magical and happiest place on earth. I mean, what teenager would not have wanted to work at Disneyland back in the 1950s when all that cool stuff was going on? I mean, they didn't have anything as cool as Disneyland. Just like when the temple was built, it was a thing of awe and wonder. Of course, later, the workers from the 60s and 70s at Disneyland would rise up, join unions, and complain that they were getting paid too little. But from day one, everyone who worked at Disneyland knew that they were getting compensated by something a little more than money. They got to be a part of the Disney magic every single day. Today, people actually get retirement jobs there. I can't tell you the number of engineers and architects, since I grew up in California, that I've met there who are past retirement age and tell me, I just wanted to be here every day. And there is a ton of upkeep in Disneyland, just like the temple. I mean, I only mentioned a few things, but trust me, that was not an exhaustive list. Did you know that in Disneyland there are 500 types of arts, crafts, professions, and skills that are contributed by Disneyland cast members during its operation. 100,000 light bulbs used, including 11,000 rim lights outlining just the buildings on Main Street, USA. Disneyland streets are washed and steam cleaned after closing each and every day. There's a team of electricians who go through and methodically change every light bulb in the park. They don't even wait for those light bulbs to go out. It takes them so long to go through all the bulbs in the park that when they're finished, they just simply start all over. And that's why you've never seen, my friend, a burnt out light bulb in Disneyland, ever. Did you also know that a paint crew goes through and paints every part of the park from start to finish every year? That's right. This happens in the same way, except for Tomorrowland, I think, especially in the line around Space Mountain. That place hasn't been painted for years, and it's looking kind of tired, but I move on. Because the second part of this chapter is about those assigned to the Treasury. And when you read that part, it's important to note that they were responsible not for the counting of money, but for the inventory, and more importantly, the repairs. The temple, you see, just like Disneyland, took a ton of upkeep. Therefore, they had to constantly take the gold, bronze, silver, smelt it down, and repair the items of the temple that would get damaged, or beat up, or simply through wear and tear, just got dropped, or for whatever reason got broken. We read in verse 26, Shelemith and his relatives were in charge of all the treasuries for the things dedicated by King David, by the heads of the family, who were the commanders of thousands of the commanders of hundreds, and by other army commanders. Some of the plunder taken in battle they dedicated for the repair of the temple of the Lord. You know, there's a bit of maintenance that needs to be made in our own lives if we're going to continue to worship the Lord. Things like getting up earlier, creating space or margin in our lives to actually carry out worship. I can remember when I was young, probably about 17, 18, I remember buying a beanbag chair because I wanted a place to sit and have my coffee in the morning and read my Bible. Now, that might sound really stupid. I mean, you don't need a beanbag to seek God. But I wanted to kind of have some place special that was my place to sit in the morning with God. That was just what I did. And that beanbag became like my prayer beanbag. I was being a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I was actually stewarding my own worship and creating the space and maintaining my environment to make sure that the worship of God could happen. What about you? Do you have a quiet place? Do you have a place that's designated to worship the Lord, a place where you can be free from all distractions? What kind of maintenance do you need to do in your life? Maybe it's going to bed earlier. Maybe it's getting up earlier. We all have it. It could be that at the end of your run or workout every day, you go for a walk and you just talk to God. It doesn't matter how you maintenance your walk with God. It's just important that you do. Well, thanks for joining me today in 1 Chronicles chapter 26, and we'll see you tomorrow in 1 Chronicles chapter 27 on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.